Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. I'll be pretty brief. I done preached once this morning, but I got a little bit more left in me. So I've come this way to spill it out, not take it back home with me. And you pray for us, God would get the honor and the glory this morning. No familiar passage. I've never preached from it quite like this, but the Lord's laid it on my heart. Luke 17 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him," you can underline this, "10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master,'" look what they said, "'have mercy on us.'" That's what we need. We don't need justice. Oh, Lord, justice to put me in hell this morning. I need mercy. Have mercy on us. Look what he said when he saw them. He said, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I got thinking, why in the world did he say, "Go show yourself to the Pope"? Because he wanted that crowd to know, honey, he can do something that religion can't do. Ain't it amazing? When he cleansed you and saved you, he sent you to somebody that couldn't do nothing with you. But then, have you noticed when they presented themselves to the priest, I bet that old priest's mouth flew open. You can sit down. They was lepers. Could you imagine? No doubt, maybe they'd passed that way before. Leprosy had broke out all over them. And people seen what they was. By the way, people see what you are. People see who I am. And here, a great representation in the Scripture is leprosy is an awful type of sin. Sin is a terrible thing in America. Sin is a terrible thing in the life of people. Sin is an amazing thing. Sin is so ugly and so vile. God sent the best thing He had, the Lord Jesus, to die for the sins of this world. Sin must be a terrible thing for God to leave heaven and come and get on an old rugged cross to die for me and you. Sin must mean a lot to Jesus. Sin ought to mean something to us this morning. Sin, I like the old phrase, the old cliche. Sin, the more you practice it, the less you know it. And oh my, isn't it amazing how you can go to dabbling with a little bit of sin and it'll bother you to start with, but the more sin you fool with, the more it don't bother you no more. That's where America's got. America don't blush no more. Homosexuality's still wrong and shacking up's still wrong and adultery's still wrong, but we've played with sin and ain't nothing wrong no more. But Jesus said, I want to know what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest and show them what's done." How could you imagine when an old priest seen them 10 walk up and snowed their former condition and what something had done? No doubt he said, "My goodness, what happened to you boys?" They said, "It's Jesus back yonder." Said, we cried for mercy. Said, "He ought to give us justice, but He give us mercy." And said, "It's something about that man over there hangs around them hills in that Sea of Galilee." Said, "It's something when he tells stuff, something it listens to him." Now I want to say something this morning. Ain't it amazing how God saved you and sent you back to a crowd that couldn't do nothing with you but change you by the good grace of God. I've noticed when Jesus changes you, He puts you on display. See, there's a trophies up here singing this morning. One was in the world and one was in religion. One was a Jehovah Witness. I know that don't mean nothing to you Sunday morning crowd, but it means a lot to a man of God. It means a lot to me to see that how Jesus changes and Jesus still saves those sinners by the grace of God. Now, contrary to what Jehovah Witness say, Jesus, Brother Brad, was more than a good man. He was the God-man. He was God manifested in the flesh, and He hung and died for the sins of this world. I'm glad one day He reached in and saved me by His amazing grace. And so now He's put us out on display in front of a religious world and saying, my goodness, religion can't do nothing to a Felton Buchanan. Religion can't do nothing to a Jerry Watterson. Religion can't do nothing to a Gerald Aldridge. No, but honey, Jesus can do something for you this morning. The Baptist church can't do nothing for you, but Jesus can make a difference. I tried religion. I don't like religion, by the way. Religion, it just keeps you the way that it finds you. I mean, it don't do nothing for you. Religion's boring. That's why charismatics is getting all of our children. Baptist churches have turned a bunch of icicle religionists, and they don't even raise their voice and don't raise their hands. They quit preaching the Word of God. Now the charismatics got a dog and pony show and done stole our children. And so whether you like that or not, you done got it this morning. You get to go on home with it free of charge. Didn't cost you no more. But I'm telling you this morning, honey, religion does nothing for you. But Jesus done something for you. Now watch what happened. You'll notice as the story unfolds, something got Jesus' attention. He said, and now when He saw them, He said, go show yourselves to the priests. Came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And now verse 15, I'd love to pastor this old boy. And one of them, one out of ten, what's that 10%? When he saw that he was healed, he turned back and like this, boy, with a loud voice. Preacher, you're too loud. I'm sorry, I just got cleansed. Had a loud voice and it glorified God. Boy, all that loud stuff gets on my nerves and all that loudness bothers me and it affects my children. Honey, I don't know what you're going to do if you do make it to heaven. Because it ain't a silent side, and it ain't a shouting side. And by the way, it ain't a smoking side and a no smoking side. I thought I'd throw that on in there. It ain't a chewing side and a no chewing side. I thought I'd get that. You may go to heaven chewing, but you'll go somewhere else to spit. Somebody say amen right there. So the Bible said when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself. And one of them, when he saw his heel, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now look what verse 17 said. Jesus questioned somebody. Jesus wondered. Do you ever wonder about some Baptists? Made me feel real good when I seen this in my study. It made me realize even Jesus shook his head sometime. Can I get a witness this morning? Now watch what he said. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where's the rest of you bunch? He said, they not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith that made thee whole. It's what I want to preach about this morning. When your blessing quits being a blessing. When your blessing quits being a blessing. Now I want you to notice something about this thing. You'll notice, first of all this is ingratitude. It's a story of ingratitude. I want to say there is a commonness of ingratitude. Now somebody's got to shout this morning. I'm going to preach myself crazy. And there is a commonness of ingratitude. Ain't it amazing how common ingratitude's got? Amen. I'm going to get me some little puppy dogs, Brother David. Sit up here on the pulpit, and then see in the back, see the car, and their little head dawdles everywhere. I'm going to punch them every now and then, just so somebody's shaking their head at the preacher. There's a commonness of ingratitude. Now watch this. Ain't it amazing when we get ungrateful, we get unfaithful? When we get ungrateful, we get unfaithful. There's a commonness of ingratitude. I've never seen such a commonness of ingratitude. It is amazing to me how everybody thinks that Jesus owes them something. It's amazing to me how you think this church owes you something. You think just because you come down here this morning, this church owes you something. Honey, all we owe you is to preach the gospel and say, come one and come all. But you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross, glory to God. There is a commonness of ingratitude. You know, I got some real good stories of where I was raised. I wouldn't take nothing for my raising. But a lot of you, you ain't got a clue about how blessed you are. You ain't got a clue what God done for you this morning when you woke up. And you walk in flippantly in the house of God with ingratitude. Now I want to show you something. Jesus had no problem saving them. I tell you what Jesus had a problem with. He had a problem with ingratitude. Have you ever... I tell you what our problem is. We've done got to majoring more about the gift than the giver. Watch this, Miss Renee. Here's something that's falling all to pieces, but there it is. Now she'll put that thing in a vase and she'll put it on display. Man, everybody walk in. You know what I noticed when I send her flyers down at Southwire? She don't say nothing to the girls when she gets home about how pretty them flowers are. She talks about the one that sent them. And see, our problem is we make more to do over the gifts than the giver. You're gloating in that car you're riding around in this morning, honey, but what about the giver that gave it to you? You're gloating with that nice pocketbook on your shoulder that you looked all real good getting out of the car. But honey, let me tell you, it wasn't the gift, it's the giver this morning. Them little youngins sitting on your bench that God has so blessed you with. It's not them, honey. It's the giver. And you ought to thank God for what He's done for you in your life. There's a commonness of ingratitude. And it's all over America. When I was in the business world, nobody wanted a job. They wanted a payday. Nobody wanted to unload a truck. They wanted my job. They wanted to walk in and be the cheese. You gotta crawl before you walk. And you gotta be appreciative of what God done give you. I just wonder, would you take an inventory and see what God's done for you this year? You say, preacher, I ain't got much. Well, Hunter, you've got enough to say much. Hey, great is much when God is in it. What could you have? Where could you be? Now notice the commonness of ingratitude. But then secondly, I notice in this passage of Scripture, there's some capabilities of ingratitude. We're very capable of being non-appreciative. There's some capabilities of ingratitude. First of all, when your places quit blessing you. Look what he said. He said, and the lepers which stood afar off. Now, can you imagine when your place has quit blessing you? You ought to be thinking about what God has done you. Hey, reached out there and pulled you in from a lost and a dying world that don't really care nothing about you. Oh, they like you because you got things and you're friendly. But what about if God takes all that, who's going to be your friend? And so you know something? Their place quit blessing them. I wonder, has your place quit blessing you? Have you ever really thought about how we were strangers and foreigners and aliens to the household of God? But He loved us enough, He brought us in, and He saved us by the gospel. I mean, that's got you out of hell. That's all He done. You walk in and say, Lord, You owed me all of that because I was a sinner and I was real good at being a sinner. And so, Lord, since I was the best sinner, You owed it to Satan. No, He owed it to put you in hell this morning, friend. You ought to thank God for His amazing grace this morning. Their place didn't bless them no more. And then I noticed this, the forgiveness of their past didn't bless them no more. Now notice this, they was lepers, but Jesus cleansed them. Now I don't know about you, but I've not always been Sunday school director. And I got me an ugly past, but it's something about it. It's a past. It's gone. Thank God my sins is gone. I'm glad that lifestyle ain't on me no more. I'm glad Jesus put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Sinner, did you know that the love of Christ can forgive you of everything you've ever done in your life? I was the meanest little old boy in the church house. I was meaner than the devil himself. Boy, I had a little old form of godliness on the outside. Had the right kind of haircut. Wore the right kind of clothes inside. Nothing never happened. I got baptized. Nothing changed. But honey, in 1981, the Lord of glory walked in where I live one day and shook me and changed me and cleansed me and saved me and washed away my sins. And thank God I can praise Him because the forgiveness of my past. This is what tickles me. Y'all know why I hate ball games? It's a lot of reasons. That's another sermon. And we ain't got time because I'm on the second one for the day. But I'm going to tell you, ain't it amazing that ball games always draw people out of the house of God? Yes, number two, ain't it amazing how easy it is to raise your hands at a ball game? Woo! Go Red Sox! Woo! Go Braves! Woo! Go this! Go that! Go Earnhardt! Oh, he's a racer, ain't he? He ain't a ball player. Ain't it easy how you go out in the world and you throw your little hands up and say, oh, ain't that just wonderful? You come down to the house of God, some old mully-faced, briar-eating, saw-briar, cross-sided, yellow-belly, devil-loving, preacher-hating Baptist sits down, gets cross-eyed, and you can't shout because they can't shout. Go and throw your little hand up this morning. It'll help you. Go and throw your little hand up. It'll help you this morning. I've noticed if you go to waving, somebody go to waving back. Jesus didn't have a problem with their sin. Didn't have a problem with how many He saved. He had a problem that they wouldn't recognize in Him as Savior. He said, what's up with this crowd? What's up with this crowd? I wonder if Jesus walked in the ball game and seen that crowd, what he'd think. By the way, let me back up, put it in reverse and park. He sees that crowd. I wonder what he thinks about it. You ain't got no problem showing your emotions in a restaurant when she won't wait on you. You ain't even got no problem showing your emotions when she ain't got your socks matched up. You ain't got no problem showing your emotions anyway except when you come to the house of God. Then you want to sit down and you say, I'm not emotional. Sure, you're emotional. Some of you look this morning like. But let me tell you, if you can sit there and go to sleep when this preacher's preaching, your wood's wet. I mean, if you can go to sleep with a man running around sweating and a slobbering and a spitting and a running and a shouting, something wrong with you. You better go to the clinic Monday. Something wrong with you. You got sleep apnea or something, whatever they call it. We're going to get you one of them masks for the meetings. I remember I was preaching one morning, and there's a man. He fell sound asleep about the third pew. Boy, Brother David, that meanness in me won't do something bad. I remember one morning I was preaching down to that old man. He run the thing. I was about 10 out of 12. He done this, Brother Brad. I walked right to him. I said, I can tell time. I didn't get to preach their homecoming, though.
That's all right.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, honey, we ought to be so enthused about what God's done for our past. We ought to praise His name every chance we get. Glory to God. Commonness of ingratitude. And oh, we see this capability of ingratitude. When your place quit blessing you, your past quit blessing, when the persons quit blessing you. And I love what Brother Jerry said out there. When the peoples quit blessing you. He was amongst healed people, helped people, and holy people, but he didn't want to be around them no more. It reminds me of revival. Well, that went right over your head, didn't it? What better place could you raise a family than the house of God? What better place, just like what Brother Chairman said, what better place could you have to have friends that can pray for you? Honey, let me tell you something. When it talks about moving the hand of God, there's some things money can't buy. I don't care how much money you got. I know money's nice to have. Money can do things, but money can't do everything. I'd rather have me some folks walking around filled with the Holy Ghost, can hit their knees around an altar and get a prayer through for me, than anything I know this morning. My goodness, their people quit being a blessing. Now I'm preaching on when your blessings quit being a blessing. You remember the day you got saved is a blessing. Boy, it bless you. It thrills me to see these just got their hearts right with God, how excited they get. Some of you turn around and look. I wish the Holy Ghost would come by and pop your jaws. I wish you'd come too and you hear somebody shouting and it's you. That's what I wish more. I just wish you would embarrass the fire out of yourself. People quit being a blessing. He said, where's the rest of these boys you was running with? Oh, I'm preaching about ingratitude. There is a commonness of ingratitude. There's a capability of ingratitude. Their place quit blessing them. Where you are with Christ, has it quit being a blessing to you? Their forgiven past, it quit being a blessing. Have you got over getting saved? Let me tell you, Christian, something. You need to get over a lot of things, but one thing you never want to get over is the day the Lord saved you. When the persons quit blessing you, when the gift becomes more grand than the giver, something's wrong. It's little things that God does. It's just amazing. Can you imagine? You know how come the Baptist Church was filled with glory and power 50 years ago in this community? Because nobody had nothing. Nobody had nothing. Everybody is equal. Everybody wore overalls, a starched white shirt. Pulled up in a mule and a wagon. The ladies done busted firewood and cooked biscuits in the morning on the wood-burning stove. Done killed a chicken yesterday, plucked all that, got it ready for today. And ain't there one of them whined it. Goes like this, shake that little head this morning. You see, I notice in this passage here, there's capability of ingratitude. When people quit blessing you. And then watch this. When your prayers quit blessing you. Ain't it amazing? Now, they all prayed. Remember what they said? I showed you the why. Said, Lord, have mercy on us. Now, ain't it amazing? Those who remember God in their distresses often forget Him in their deliverances. I read that again. Those who remember God in their distresses often forget Him in their deliverances. You remember when He needed really to do something good for you? And boy, when that prayer come through, you said, hallelujah. And you just forgot it. You just forgot. Well, God owed me that. We ought to be appreciative. Or say, Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Not only am I going to praise You in my distresses, I'm going to praise You in my deliverances. I'm glad God's delivered me from some things. When you're praying, quit blessing you. And then, watch this. Capabilities of ingratitude. You place, you pass. Person, the people, prayer. But lastly, when the praise has quit blessing you. I like what one old writer said, Brother Dennis. He said, prayer is for a time, but praise is for eternity. It is a sin to neglect to praise, as it is as a sin to restrain from prayer. Look what Jesus said. Were there not 10, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Can I ask y'all something? Whoever taught you that it was wrong to praise God in the church house? They knew nothing about this Bible. Matter of fact, Jesus wondered why nobody was praising Him. I wonder what He thinks about in 209. Man, I wonder. Did you know, you say, well, you know, if I raise my hands, they'll think I'm a holiness. Praise God. A holiness that believes in eternal security. What are you talking about? I'm talking about let them say all they want. It don't matter. It's Him that matters. Thank you, Lord. Can I ask you something? Sometimes, as discouraged as I get, I've noticed the way to get out of discouragement is this. Thank you. I want to thank you. You see, there's the commonness of ingratitude. Number two, you'll notice not only there are commonness, there are capabilities. But then number three, there's a complaint of ingratitude. Jesus had a complaint about it. See, it denies the glory due to His name. And watch this. Blessings are to draw us to the giver, not drive us from it. Have you ever that's raised children, and you that have never have, quit trying to tell somebody else how to raise theirs? Because they're all different. But have you ever noticed maybe if you give one of your young'uns a new bicycle, new clothes, ice cream every time they whined, everything they wanted, and have you ever noticed how unappreciative that they got and how it helped them when you just cut it off? Sometimes we've got to be awakened, don't we? You see, blessings are meant to drive us to the giver instead of drive us away from Him. When I moved here 30 years ago, you know what I had? A drug habit. That's all I had. I come over that mountain in a pickup truck, and I didn't even have a suit of clothes to wear to church. I want to ask y'all something. I was lost. God saved me and washed me from my sin. Don't you think I owe it to Him to say, thank you? When I pull up out yonder, I don't live in a trailer no more. And if I did, hallelujah, praise God, I've got family in a trailer. Praise God, I got salvation in a trailer. He's just decided to let me live in a brick house. Nothing I've done. Glory to God. And you know what? He can get it just like you. You better be thankful. Because I've noticed how I corrected my young'uns with their unthankfulness. I took it away from them. How many people you know this morning, they started living right, God started blessing them, and their britches got too big, now they ain't here no more. You know what? They fixing to crash and burn. Because God's going to get the honor and the glory for it. I'm closing. But do you understand there's a complaint of ingratitude? There's some consequences of ingratitude. Luke 9:26. I want you to notice what he said. This just ain't Ken Bowman theology. I want you to look what I'm preaching to you. Luke 9:26. I heard of a man in our church the other day. They had a new boss man come in and used the Lord's name in vain. He said, Hey, we don't do that here. We don't talk like that here. Well, I'll get fired. This church ain't broke. We can buy some groceries. We ain't got to vote on buying groceries, have we? I didn't think so. I didn't know if y'all done something while I was gone. Look what he says. He said, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy." And whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory. Let me tell you something. There's no reason to be ashamed about Jesus. Amen. You ought to raise your hands to Him. So we come with a song this morning. I want to ask you this. There's a commonness of ingratitude. There's capabilities of ingratitude. You know what? I'm capable of all these things. That's what's amazing. Even me, the pastor, I'm capable of every one of that list that I read to you this morning. My past, my place, the person, the people. We just say, okay, Lord. You know, Brother Brad, Brother Dennis, Brother Mike, these preachers, Brother Donald, it's here. This is what really goes against the preacher that's preaching something in the day we live. It's complacency. Ingratitude. We ought to be the most thankful people in this community. Everybody walks in this place, they say, my goodness, Lord's blessed y'all. Sure has. Y'all remember when we was in a storefront and that old green carpet? Lord, it stunk. You remember when I was a preacher and had a little window unit air conditioner stuck in a block wall up there? Remember how hot we'd get? Now everything's just right, but it ain't right enough. I'm preaching on when you're blessings quit being a blessing. He said, where are the nine? Didn't I cleanse 10? Then there's a conclusion. Unthankfulness brings a curse upon our blessing. It provokes the giver to deprive us of our blessing. Oh, I know we've had a good altar call this morning. I know that. But I still want to open this altar up and I want to challenge you and I want to ask you something. Are you ungrateful? Has your blessings quit being a blessing? Take an inventory. Let me ask you this. I'm going to say this from the Word of God and from my experience. You that's been saved, Brother Bart,
Brother Jerry, Brother Brad. You that's been saved and live for God, you watch this. Look what you had when you started and look around at what you got today. Just look. And this ain't Johnny come lately. Don't you tell me it don't pay to serve God, because it does. I got things money can't buy this morning. Brother Brad, have you always been able to put your arm around your wife and sing around a piano in a Holy Ghost church? Brother Felton, you're out there, all them buddies. I wonder, would you ever thought God had blessed you so much that your young'uns would leave a seat and go to an altar? Brother David, would you ever thought you'd had a grandbaby like this to run down the altar in her little corner and pray revival? That would you ever thought? You see, God's been good to me. Brother Mike, I'd have never thought we'd had a crowd like this under this kind of preaching. I'm just serious with you. Brother David, I figured the five families we started with, you know, God had let us have 40, 50, 60. Brother Mike, I've never seen this. I've never seen a ministry I'd quit my job, walk out into. I've never seen it. Brother Randall, when you called me, I remember where I was sitting when you rung the phone for me to come pastor my first church where you was a deacon. I come over there in a little old blue van. Had two little young'uns in a car seat following me everywhere I went. God, we had a good time, didn't we, buddy? Brother Dennis sitting around your heater, little old Jake. I remember I had to step over him. Brother Gilbert, you know, remember little old young'uns, they'd get rowdy and they'd start crawling around. I'd just step over them in the living rooms of preaching. Lord, I've never seen all this, Brother Tommy. I never seen look out in the parking lot, people parking, can't even get in the house of God. I've never seen it. But you know what? God deserves the praise for it. And you ought to thank Him for just letting you be a part of something like this. Has your blessing quit being a blessing? You come this morning as my sister sings. I don't know what you need, but it's here for you as we sing. Would you?